Next, we'll have Dr. Sattler.
Good morning. How are you all? I am, all my slides, oh, they're there. I am going to be passing around a sign-up sheet. We have a listserv that once a week we bundle information that has been created by nurses for nurses about environmental health. And if you're not, I know about a third of you are already on that listserv, but if some of you are not on that, if you would like to sign up, you can easily unsubscribe if you feel like it gets to be too much, but you'll get information about new grants and research and resources and I'm only kidding. It's all right. The other thing is that I'm going to be talking about a website that we've created. And so I've created these little sticky notes that have the website address so that some of you, I was able to hand these to you. Okay. So I just press on here or just here. It doesn't matter. Okay, so I'd like to just start with a context. I'm going to be talking about technologies that we've developed but around environmental health. And the public health nursing section of APHA have been our champions. You have really embraced environmental health in a very big way. The public and community health nurse educators also are often the ones that are taking the leads within schools of nursing to integrate environmental health. And this past year, in 2010, the American Nurses Association, as part of their scope and standards of practice, which they redo about every 5 years, actually created a standard of environmental health practice for nursing. So you might want to be thinking about a gerontological standard of practice, or maybe there are some, so I apologize for not knowing that. But this was the first time that the American Nursing Association said, okay, environmental health is part of our domain. The American Academy of Nursing created an environmental health task force that is now looking at policy work that they may engage in on environmental health. The American Association of Colleges of Nurses established an environmental health committee that has made some recommendations already with regard to sustainability issues in schools of nursing. And I sit on both the Academy and the AACN committees, and we're going to be taking some of the recommendations that the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments, the education work group, has made for the integration of environmental health into nursing education, and working that through AACN, which is basically the organization of deans of schools of nursing of baccalaureate programs. And we've also been working with a host of nursing specialty organizations. So the National Association of School Nurses has now got a lot of programming on indoor air quality, on school siting, on product selection. The Oncology Nursing Society, we were very excited to get engaged with them. Many of those nurses who have been taking care of patients with cancer for years and years and years would like to now engage in actually removing some of the carcinogens from our air, water, food, and products. And so they're interestingly engaged in this, and midwives and bunches of others. We've also been doing faculty workshops, and we've been working with editors of journals. So we've had several journals where we've had dedicated issues on environmental health for a variety of nursing specialties. The Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments is a network. It's a network of nurses who are from a wide array of specialties, but who have come together because environmental health is something that we have a particular proclivity for, we are interested in. And there are four work groups. There's the education practice, policy and advocacy, and research work group. And so the work that I'm going to be talking today is a combination of the education work group and the practice work group's work. And the following speakers, Kathy Curtis and Mary Jane Williams, are from they co-chair the policy and advocacy work group. So you'll be hearing a little bit about policy and advocacy from them. So a couple of things that the education work group has done was to create a set of environmental competencies, develop a model for where do you stick environmental health besides community public health, what would you be teaching around environmental health if you teach maternal child health or PEDS or psych mental health? What are the things that, or pharmacology, what are the things that we can be adding to our curriculum in an organic way to the existing courses? And I actually did write a text called Environmental Health and Nursing and realized that, that came out a bunch of years ago, that people don't really read textbooks anymore. I know some of you probably do have textbooks for your courses, but most students get their information from the web, and so we decided we were going to create an electronic textbook equivalent, and I'm going to talk about that. And so we have created the EnviroN website, which you all have these little, or will have these stickies about. This is the beginning of use of technology. This is a unique website. Most of you have, how many of you have websites for your program, your school, your whatever, your church, or other faith-based institutions? So we're used to going to a website and gathering information. But the website that we've created has three separate platforms integrated. It's very unusual. Actually, the UN came and talked with us because they really liked what we were doing. It includes social networking. It includes an education platform, something akin to Blackboard, and sort of the traditional website that you would be familiar with. So you can actually register onto the website. It's totally free. And say you're interested in what's going on in nanotechnology now, and you want to start a conversation about that because you just read about that and this really concerns you as a nurse. You can go on our site and create your own blog on that site so that you can communicate with other nurses about that. Or maybe you're maybe you teach community public health and you want to join a blog where there are already community public health nurse educators who are talking about what kinds of reading assignments that they've provided, what kinds of critical thinking questions they're providing for their students, and so forth. So it's a place to meet and greet, gather information, and create. So this is what the top of the front page looks like, and that part where that little girl actually is the daughter of one of the nurses that went to Annapolis to do work on the Toxic Substance Control Act reform. But that scrolls, and also on that first page, we changed these little videos that nurses have done for you, nurses about nurses, for nurses in environmental health. So this is a site I would really encourage you to take a peek at, and if you are an educator, to encourage your students to go to for information. So I found this picture last week. This was me in nursing school. And this was our library. And the reason that I'm showing this is because this is what nursing students look like now. And the reason that I was showing this is because I'm an old fart. And how many of you, if you don't classify yourself that yet, are quickly approaching old fartdom, right? Look around. Okay, half the room, right? So, and those of you who are not, please understand that I'm going to be mostly talking to you. But this is what happens to old farts when we look at any kind of technology. We have this sense that actually there is an animate object inside there telling us you did that wrong, you're really stupid. I mean, we approach technologies in a really, you laugh because it's true. We think the computer actually is our mother or father saying critical, 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 you know, I mean. Whereas young people, this is an extension of their body. This is a friend. This is something they depend on for their entire communications, education, just a bit, social life, etc. So we felt like it was really important for us to enter into this world if we're going to get to young people. And that is, in fact, part of what we wanted to do. It's really not that we're at all opposed to getting to people in our demographic, for those of you who raised your hands. But really, how do we expand beyond that? And for those of us who are not terribly afraid of using this technology at my age, how can we, you know, expand into that? So one of the things that we're doing right this minute in beta testing is an iPhone application, which if successful, and it will be free for this coming year because we have a foundation funding that. And it's daily tips. So when you, and this is,
It may not be this icon, because we're playing with this is the icon for the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments. And it says tip of the day. It may be a slightly different icon, and it may say green RN, because that's the name of it. But we're going to start with the iPhone, and then we will, if it's successful, we'll move to Droids and move to other applications, other handheld applications. And so what will it have there? Well, what it will have is not all of this information on the page when you go to the tip of the day. It will start with choose non-toxic arts and crafts products, for instance. And then it will show the things that are in blue with underlines, and then you can go to that. So each page will have smaller bits of information, but you'll be able to travel through this. And when you get down to the URLs at the bottom, it will actually take you on your iPhone. It takes you right to that new website. So that you're not having to think about how to get there. It's all very invisible in some ways, not transparent. You just keep flying around the web to the places with the information that we feel is helpful. We also hope that you will engage with us and tell us, if you say a student's done a paper on something that's really new and interesting, and a tip of the day could be created for that for nurses, please let us know, because we've got to have 365 tips going out there. So that would be important. So arts and crafts products may be something that, in fact, some of you in the audience wouldn't know enough information about. This would be helpful for a school nurse, for instance, or a parent. Then other things that are things that most of you are familiar with, for instance, carbon monoxide, but giving people nice little sort of bulleted pieces of information on that, and then once again referring them to a more enlarged piece of information. You can send the URLs through your iPhone to yourself through email, so that then when you're on your computer, you can actually look at it there as well. And then another sort of format, and we're playing with these three formats in our beta testing to see what nurses generally find as the most helpful. So this is arsenic. Once again, combination of, you would see just the dark, the emboldened writing there, and then that would link you to the next little set of bulleted pieces of information. We also, and this is really exciting, and we were trying like the Dickens to do our coming out party for APHA, but it's November 9th. We are going live this is the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments in partnership with this fabulous website called Practically Green. And please go to practicallygreen.com and then /Annie, which is the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments. And what this site is, we've actually created our own component of it. You and your nursing students can go there, and you're asked a set of questions about indicators about how green you are and how environmentally healthy you personally are. And it asks you about your home choices and your transportation and your gardening choices and all kinds of questions. And then it will provide you with a congratulations that you're this much green, and that in these areas you could be a little greener if you did X, Y, or Z. And it's all personalized to what you've said you're already doing. And I was actually shocked that I'm only like in the middle of greenness, and I thought I was like doing well. I get on planes a lot, and that really ruins my greenness. But it you know, gave me a lot of really interesting tips, and I thought, well, this is fabulous, a way to get nurses who are currently working as well as nursing students to think about this personally, because that's a really good way to start. And then you can start thinking about your patients and the communities you serve in terms of information you share with them. So electronic health records, this with health reform is giving us a unique opportunity to get environmental health into our clinical practice settings in a way that we really didn't have before, because environmental health is still not a robust part of nursing curriculum. We've got several nursing faculty champions here in the room, but for the most part across the country, it's not well integrated yet. And so for those nurses who come out of our pipeline without a good sort of nomenclature and vocabulary about environmental health,
Sticking environmental health assessment questions into the electronic health records is a way for us to get them to begin to think about this. And the nice thing about EHRs, electronic health records, is they're three-dimensional also, like our website. You can, if you're asking a question and you don't know why you're asking that question, you can ask for a pop-up little tutorial saying, this is why I'm asking about the age of the housing stock that this person lives in. It's a proxy for lead-based paint. It's a proxy for some other things as well. And then give, so you can actually create tutorials within the electronic health records. And so one of the places that they've been using this, it is in Washington, D.C. at a maternal child health clinic. Katie Huffling, who is a nurse midwife and did a lot of work in environmental health and is currently working on staff for the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments, she started to ask a whole screening set of questions of pregnant women. This is everybody's first environment. So really protecting this environment and understanding what is impacting this environment is very important. So she started to use this assessment, and then as their clinics moved towards electronic health records, she was able to take her personal, you know, what she would screen, and put that into the clinic EHRs. Oh, God, 3 million. Anyway, so such questions as, you know, are you eating fish, and fish consumption while you're pregnant, concern about mercury is an issue, so you want to make sure that you're asking questions about that. What kinds of pest management you're using in your home right now, and other questions that have to do with diet, lifestyle, things that a woman who's pregnant could have some control over, could actually make some shifts and changes. So other things that can be done when using electronic health records, which also can be in handheld gizmos, is that we can also figure out what's the water quality. Are there fish consumption alerts in your community? So they could be put right into your electronic health records so that you can provide patient education. This can be used in community public health clinics as well, so that kind of information, you can actually, once you've got the patient's address, you can start working directly with the region and the area around that address. I mean, it's just incredible what we're going to be able to do with this as we move along. The other thing is that many of these are handheld and they're the size of a tablet, so that you can you could actually do patient teaching, showing them pictures, also have things in Spanish for a mom here to read if you're not fluent in Spanish. That might give them a better understanding about mata moscas, which is to kill mosquitoes, and how to keep that out of a child's reach, et cetera. So this is a list that Environmental Working Group has created of what's called the Dirty Dozen. These are the, if we're going to start talking to patients, for instance, about what fruits and vegetables they eat and how to decrease the pesticide residues, we can put this list in our little electronic health records or our handheld devices and be able to talk to our patients and say, what kinds of fruits and vegetables do you eat? And go through the Dirty Dozen and say, if it's at all possible, to find out where your produce is coming from and to choose against or away from the Dirty Dozen and choose the Clean 15. So you can actually give them things that if they can't afford organic, how they can go with these particular produce because they are less likely to have pesticide residues on them. Additionally, you can ask them, you can say, okay, so your grocery stores and in many poorer neighborhoods, particularly inner city, don't have good produce. You can put in your zip code in the farmer's market find, and you can find out where the nearest farmer's market is. So while you're working with your patients, you can ask them where they live, you can suggest where the nearest farmer's market is. And when you work with farmers markets, even though they may not all be certified organic and probably aren't, you can talk to whoever is selling it to you, and they can tell you how they have grown those fruits and vegetables. They will know whether they've applied pesticides and often have not, or have applied less or in a different way, safer way. So I'm out of time, and I'm at the end. So if you have questions about any of the technologies, I am not the gal to call or get in touch with. But Katie Huffling is like Shell's answer man. She can give you answers about all of this and engage you with this, and that is her email address And so we look forward to working with the current young generation and future generations on environmental health. And thank you so much for being here this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much.